1 Thessalonians 1, 1 to 10 is our text. Last week we finished our time in Philippians, 4 weeks that we spent there. This week we begin 4 weeks in a letter that we call 1 Thessalonians. It is the first of two letters that we have written by Paul to believers in a city called Thessalonica. As we get to this letter and see how Paul opens the letter, it would be good to have a little background to this letter that he wrote. Thessalonica was a large city at that time, possibly a couple hundred thousand people. As I said, we just finished the book of Philippians. We just finished looking at that letter that Paul wrote. And although this letter to the Thessalonians was written much earlier than that one, Paul's visit, his first visits to these two cities, came not too far apart from each other. In fact, one kind of went almost right into the other. This was at the very beginning of Paul's first trip into Europe. He'd already traveled to other places, but his first trip into Europe, into Greece. And the first main stop noted in the book of Acts, as it records that that journey and Paul's work, was in the city of Philippi, which, as I said, is what we just looked at, a letter to them. Quite a few people came to faith there. But Paul and Silas were thrown in prison for causing it was an economic disruption related to fortune telling. Right? They cast out a demon that was aiding this girl in fortune telling, and her masters were not happy because they were losing money. So not long after being released from prison, they continued on past Philippi. As they arrived several days later in Thessalonica, they located a Jewish synagogue because the city had a large enough Jewish population that they would have a synagogue there, a place for them to gather and meet. For 3 weeks, Paul taught in the synagogue, and many people believed the message of Jesus. Both Jews and non-Jews came to believe in the message of Jesus. But many among the Jews who did not believe in that city became jealous of the following that Paul was gaining for Christ. They became jealous of that. And so they started causing trouble, which increased to the point of becoming pretty much a riot in the city, where they kept even some of the believers, the new believers, following Paul's teaching about Christ, they kept some of them detained and locked up, and they told stories to the governing officials about them being troublemakers. You know, they were accusing the new believers of being troublemakers, and they made them pay in order to be let go and go home. So that's the situation here. And because of all the commotion going on, Paul and the others traveling with him left Thessalonica very quickly. The seriousness of the trouble there is highlighted by the fact that as they move on very shortly thereafter to another city called Berea, we read in Acts that the Bereans, speaking specifically of the Jewish congregation there in that city, were of more noble character because they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul taught was true. Those who opposed him in Thessalonica did not do that. They simply rejected. These in Berea did not, as a general rule, simply reject the message. Although later on there was trouble there as well, as some of the troublemakers came from Thessalonica to stir up some trouble in this new city. The thing to note here as we get to this letter that Paul wrote is not that those in Berea were of more noble character than the people in Thessalonica who believed the message. It's not making that comparison. The Thessalonian believers stand out from the others that opposed Paul as having received the message. And then they immediately had a need to stand firm because of all of this commotion that was happening in the city amid all of this, some immediate suffering. So the Bereans were of more noble character than those who opposed the message, but those who believed the message in Thessalonica were commended for how they believed and followed. All the suffering that sent Paul immediately out of the city, these new believers were left there to face. As Paul continued on his journeys, preaching in new places, These brand new believers who really only had a few weeks to hear the teaching about Jesus were constantly on his mind, on Paul's mind, thinking about them. As soon as he could, as soon as it worked out, he sent Timothy to find out how things were going in that city. What he heard back was good news and quite a relief as he heard a report of how God was working in them and how their faith was strong. As we read this opening chapter here of 1 Thessalonians, we look to identify what it was that impacted these Thessalonian believers so strongly and the effect that it produced in them. And as we do that, we might consider what and who have an impact on us in our faith and the effect that it produces in us. So that's what we're going to be listening for. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 through 10 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as I read that, as you are able. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 10. Reading in Jesus' name. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us as we hear about the encouraging words Paul was writing to these believers so long ago. Thank you that they are instructive to us as well as we think about our own faith and how that is encouraged and what examples you have given for us to follow and the blessing that those are. Guide us as we consider these words this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite any kids that want to come up to the front to come up here. Come on up. Guys, don't race for the seats. Okay, I actually, instead of sitting down, well, we'll wait for a moment as a few others are coming up here. All right. Okay, I want you to stand right in front of your seat. Just stand right there. And for a little brief time here, I want you to copy what I do. Okay? Hey, good job. You guys are copying pretty well. Let's try that one. You get going the right way. Can we switch that? You guys are doing pretty well. Okay, you guys can have a seat. Thanks for participating in that. You know what we're talking about today? You were going to copy the whole thing. No, you can stop that, right? what we're talking about today, maybe you heard it, we hear about imitating an example that God has given us. And God has given us some wonderful examples to imitate. What does imitate mean? Do you know what that means, to imitate?
Respect God.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. That's a good idea. Imitate. What were you just doing? What were you doing? You were imitating it, right? You were copying it. It's kind of that idea, right? Maybe not an exact copy, but something like that, right? So that's what we're hearing about. And in fact, I think you guys heard a little bit about that from a different part of the Bible in Sunday school this morning, right? About kind of following what is good examples. So what I have for you this morning, I have where we want to think especially about imitating is when it comes to talking about Jesus to other people who need to hear it. So I have a little picture of somebody talking to somebody else, and here's why I kind of have this folded in half. So what you can do is you can take your paper, fold that in half, and you can trace that outline, kind of like you're copying it, right, to remind us that we want to be imitating the good examples of those who follow God well. And we want to be in a good example to others as well, and we trust God to help us do that. So here we go. You guys can hand those out. There you go. You guys can go back to your seats then. All right. Thanks for coming up. All right. Well, as we think about Paul's message here in this, as he begins this letter, he begins this letter with a typical greeting, which includes that Silas and Timothy, two that were traveling with him, preaching the gospel, are also writing along with him. These men had the opportunity to interact along with Paul with these believers in Thessalonica. So I'm sure that he, as he mentions them in the letter as well, they are meaningful to the people in this city, to the Thessalonians. They are hearing names that they recognize and appreciate. And then after that, Paul turns to a word of thanksgiving, which is also common for him to do in the letter that he writes. He says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers." Now, I can tell you that I'm not that good at mentioning people in my prayers as much as I might like to and might try to. I need to create reminders for myself to pray for people and do that on a consistent basis. And I can tell you, I really appreciate those who are good at keeping others in prayer. And there are some who do that just naturally. People that we might sometimes call a prayer warrior. So people who just, that's just in their nature. And some of you are like that, where you just do that and remember the things to pray for. I need to have them written down and look at a list. Okay, who am I praying for? Because they don't just come to mind. I appreciate those who have that gift and do that. And as I read this, as I read what Paul writes to that, it gives me a desire to be that way. To even though it doesn't come naturally to me, it gives me a desire to say, yeah, I want to be praying for people that I know that God would encourage them. I want to be able to pray for people in that way. As Paul prays for them, there are some specific things then that he prays about. Here we find Paul using some words that he often does in his letters, especially in relation to how God works through people. Paul here talks about work produced by faith. So that's one of those, faith. And labor prompted by love. And love is another one of those words. These two complement each other. Labor and work, of course, are very similar words. I mean, in some ways we might say they're synonyms, and so they might be referring to the same thing. Later in this letter, Paul gets to encouraging the Thessalonians in a few particular things that he wants to encourage them in. The first half of this letter is dedicated to describing the good that Paul is hearing about these believers. It becomes clear that the work and labor that are produced by faith and love that they have are the work of spreading the gospel. That's what Paul is referring to. The work and the labor of telling about Jesus to those who need to hear about it. That's what he hears about and what comes out of their faith and their love. They believe the word of promise of the good news, and they care about the people around them, and they tell people about that good news. And then Paul mentions endurance, inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. These believers that Paul is writing to had some things to endure. It was not easy to endure. We will see some of that in a moment. What we know is that the ability to endure comes from the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's where we get strength to endure. Hope, as we find in Paul's letters, is talking about the assurance. It's not wishful thinking. It's the assurance of what is to come. Looking ahead to what is to come in eternity, even though we don't have it quite yet. There is an encouragement that we can go through any number of sufferings here in this world, knowing the reality of what God has promised us in eternity. There's an encouragement to do that, to get through things. Now, where do these strong statements from Paul come from? He states this very, very strongly. They have a good report about the Thessalonians. So what is it? What is this good report that Paul has heard? He says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." Paul is sure of the strength of the faith in these believers, as that's what he's concerned about. How strong is their faith? We didn't have much time with them. He's sure of the strength of the faith that they have because of the evidence in their lives, of the gospel working in their lives. It was not simply a surface agreement to what had been stated, such as saying, "Oh, that's a good teaching. Okay, I believe that." It wasn't just that. It was more than that. The gospel message produced a change in them, a visible change in them. They held strongly to the message that they heard. And Paul talks about how this was seen, what was visible about about them holding strongly to the message. He says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." So he and the others with him set an example, even though they were there for a short time. They set an example. And he said, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." Paul talks about their example, Silas and Timothy and any others that may have been with them. They lived in such a way to set an example, even though, as I said, it was a short period of time. It seems clear that what he's referring to is the way that they behaved in the midst of the opposition to the gospel message. They responded to it, trusting God. Paul spoke boldly and clearly. They lived their lives in agreement with what they were teaching. And then Paul talks about these new believers being imitators of that. Sometimes in our culture, we have such a high value for individualism that we might actually sometimes look down on imitating. We want to be different. We don't want to be the same. We don't want to just copy someone else. We want to do our own thing. We kind of value that in our North American culture. But imitating can be a very good thing. It can be a very good way to learn things. One place where we see imitation often is in children. If I'm, at home, I'm doing some work with the tools, working on something on the house, often one or two of the kids wants to have matching tools. You know, if I've got a tape measure, they've got their tape measure. If I've got a hammer, they've got their hammer, right? They want to have matching tools. Maybe as I'm done the job, then later on they may go, and hopefully not wrecking anything, but pretending to do the same type of work. You know, continue on. They're imitating that work. Boaz one time was following so close behind me with the toy lawnmower, and really too close behind me as I was mowing the lawn. I actually had to just stop and tell him clearly, "Okay, back away from me. Right, you can't be right behind me with the lawnmower. We don't want to get hurt out here. You know, if I turn the corner and don't realize he's there." So he just wanted to copy what I was doing. Now, for some kids, especially some that are vocal in certain ways, we might hear them say something and think, that really sounds like an adult way of saying something. For example, you might hear, a 6-7-year-old girl say to her younger sister something like this: "Young lady, if you don't clean your room, you're not going to get any dessert." Well, where do we hear a child speak in that way? Well, from the adults around them, right? They're imitating. But even as we get older, we can often still imitate. And often that's a really good thing. In one place where I find it for myself, you know, my dad is here this morning. He's joined us here this morning. And many of you know that he has spent a fair bit of time preaching as well. And now, I don't know if it's imitation or if it's simply inherited personality traits, but there are some times where I find myself saying something in a particular way or doing something in a particular way, and I might think, I really think that resembles the way that my dad would do that or would say that. So, like I said, I don't know if that's inherited or imitation or whatever. I think it's a good thing, right? I'll say it's a good thing. Since he's here with us this morning, I'll say that. As Paul talks about this mission, as he talks about the imitation, as he talks about them imitating, he's not just referring to any behavior. We see imitation in lots of different ways, but he's not talking about just anything. He talks about imitating them, so Paul and his companions, and also the Lord, which would be Jesus. That's who he's referring to, because they accepted the message amid suffering, with joy given by the Holy Spirit. For us, as we think about this, we might reflect on who are the people that we have imitated in our life, or people that we might imitate as good examples of someone that has followed Christ well. Have you read stories of believers in other times and places whose faith has remained strong in tough times? There are stories out there. Maybe you've read some of them. And maybe they are a good example. Maybe there's somebody in your own life who is a good example of you, to you, of someone who has followed well. Or in times and places of prosperity, we might think of the opposite end of the spectrum. If you watch a lot of sports, it might get tiring hearing athletes talk about how they deserve more money. We hear that talk, right? Hey, I'm better than that guy, and he's making more than me. So I should be making more money than he is, because I'm better than he is, right? How refreshing it is, every so often we come across someone who really talks in a way that at least appears up front to focus on other things, other than just, oh, I need more money because I'm better than him. It focuses on something else. If we see that in an athlete, how refreshing it is to see a different attitude towards that. How much more so when it comes to the faith and living out our faith. How encouraging it is to find people who have had abundant or at least plenty of wealth and use that wealth primarily in serving God rather than simply seeking their own enjoyment. Whichever way it is, whether it's those people who are in times of suffering or those who have plenty and use it well in serving God, who are the people that you can think of that God has given as a blessing to you, to me, as people that we can imitate? Paul moves on from them imitating so well to the result that produced in them. He says this, following up that they imitated Paul and his companions and Jesus, he says, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Paul and Silas and Timothy spent a few weeks in Thessalonica, but the time that they spent there preaching and teaching had such an impact on those who came to believe that they could not help but share the message of good news in Jesus all over the place. And the news of that spread. Macedonia and Achaia are two parts of Greece, and the believers in Thessalonica were instrumental in spreading the good news throughout those places. Remember this as well, as we hear that, as Paul says that. They had strong opposition right in their own city. Even in their own city, they had strong opposition. And yet, the word went out beyond that. They followed so well the example of those who brought the good news to them that it then spread from them. You could hardly go anywhere where somebody didn't know about the work of this church. At least that's what Paul appears to be saying there. And you know what? This was long before social media, where news can get out so fast, right? The word spread by word of mouth, right? Spreading out from person to person. Here's how much of an impact that it had. Paul says this: therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. He doesn't even need to comment further on it. For they themselves report what kind of a reception you gave us. As Paul talks with others about these believers, he doesn't even need to talk about their faith and how they received the good news, because everybody else already knows about it. It's not news anymore. They all know. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. There are specifics that Paul mentions here that he's going to get to later on, in particular ways that he wants to encourage these Thessalonian believers. He wants to encourage them to understand some specific things about the gospel, and he will get to more of those later. For now, we simply notice how strong of a witness and testimony there was about these Christians, what they believed, and how their life was changed by the good news. In just a short time of instruction from Paul and the others, they became a model that others could follow. The rabble-rousers of the city were terrible in how they treated the gospel. They didn't even give it a hearing, really. They just rejected it and rose up in violence against it. But those who received the message in that same city were a wonderful example of trusting God, even while many around them didn't. What do we learn from this opening to this letter? As I said, with very little time of instruction, these Christians, these new believers, were strong in their faith. They followed well the example set for them. We may think about our own story, our own lives. Who comes to mind as someone who has set an example for us? As we think about this, as we reflect on this, we can thank God for those that He has put in our lives that we can imitate in faith, in love, and in the hope that we have. As we follow and imitate those that God has given to us as an example to us, we ask God for the gift also of being able to model this faith for others as well. This doesn't take a lot of seminary training. It doesn't, as we saw with the Thessalonians, it doesn't even necessarily take a long time in the faith. It's simply a desire from God that God gives us to seek Him and to follow Him with our lives. And so as we think about what Paul says about these Thessalonians, we ask that He would do that. We thank Him for what He has given us. We ask Him to help us follow those that have been a good example to us and to work in us so that we can be a good example to others. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this testimony of the strong faith that You gave to these believers in Thessalonica. And as Paul is encouraged to hear the good report from them, thank You for that, the way that we can consider that, and that we can think about our own lives and think about those who have set a good example for us. And we ask that You would help us to follow that, and that You would work in us also to be a good example to others and provide a model that others can also imitate. Thank You for the blessing of being able to serve You in that way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.